Luke chapter 23, verse 44, and a few scriptures following. Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. While the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now the centurion saw what had taken place. He praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw that what had happened or what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. I want to talk about the scene at Calvary. A few moments deal with the scene at Calvary, a view at Calvary. Jesus has now been crucified. And let me just tell you this for those who don't know the story, for no fault of his own. He's here at Calvary. At first glimpse and at first look, it is a horrible sight. Jesus hanging on the cross. While on the cross, even at this moment of crucifixion, still being mocked and derided while he's at Calvary. I want you to see it, and I want you to understand the significance of his death on the cross. It was not for his own doing, and was not for anything that he had done. He's not committed any crime. All he's done is be Jesus. He walked the dusty roads of Galilee and Judea, healing the sick, making the blind to see. He's caused an uproar in the city or in across the lands because of his faithful obedience to the will of God. He's done nobody any harm. Couldn't find a flaw in his life. He's been humble, he's been meek, he's been kind. He's fed. Look, let me just show you just how great and how gracious Jesus has been. There was a banquet where actually he turned it into a banquet. He was on the hillside preaching, and folk got hungry, and he took 5 barley loaves and 2 sardines. And fed 5,000 people. And not counting women and children. Had I been there, I probably would have, my report would have been Jesus fed buku folk. Just how gracious he is. Saw a fella sitting on the pool of Bethesda, had been there, or been coming there for 38 years, attempting to be healed, wanting to be healed.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus healed the man. Matter of fact, he did a little spontaneous interview with him and said, would you be whole? And the fella started making excuses. Every time I try to get in the pool, somebody, it's somebody else's fault.
Yes, sir. All right, go ahead now. Talk about
it. But no excuses with Jesus. He healed him. He was just gracious. Did nobody any harm. Woman had lost a daughter, or lost a son. And they were in a funeral procession on their way to the cemetery. Jesus stopped the funeral. Scripture says he touched the casket. And the boy said, let me out of here. Done nobody harm. He's just been Jesus everywhere he went. Healing and feeding and helping and bringing substance to people's life. And his life wasn't just filled with healing and feeding, but he did some preaching along the way. Didn't do anybody any harm. He went to the temple one day and he opened up the book and began to read from the book. And while he read from the book, he says, the Lord, or rather the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. All he did was preach the word of God. And my Bible tells me in Luke 4, it says that after he finished preaching, folk got mad at him and he didn't do anybody any harm.
Well,
they tried to throw him off of a cliff.
Well.
But interesting thing about that portion is that the scripture says that he passing through him.
Yeah.
Them, rather. He passing through them. He went his way.
Yes, sir.
I want you to understand. Come here. I want to help you today. I really want you to understand what Jesus does. He just goes on being himself. Doesn't matter what you say about him, what you do to him, what type of flux you try to cause in his life. He was just being Jesus. And I describe him as just being Jesus because many of us proclaim to know the man. Because we proclaim to know the man, you ought to know his story.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You ought to know his attributes, know his character, know that Jesus doesn't go around causing trouble.
Right.
He gets us out of it. Amen. He helps us through it. And the significance of his death was to get you and me out of trouble.
Amen.
Trouble, Reverend? What trouble? I'm talking about that trouble. That trouble that nags at us daily.
Yeah.
Called sin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know sin. You know what sin is, don't you? You know.
Yeah.
Do I need? Well, let me just be descriptive. There are some people that there are some people who don't know it. Let me help you. Sin. It's those things which transgress against God, cause us to do things which utterly displeases God. You know, lying. That's a sin. Envy, that's a sin. You know, you can't stand to see nobody else with anything. Envy, that's a sin. Jealousy, that's a sin. Fornicating, that's a sin. Adultery, that's a sin. Stealing, that's a sin. If I ain't got to yours, I'll keep going. Those things which displease God, which transgress against his divine will. He came, he died. The significance of his death is that we can get out of trouble.
Yes.
What trouble does sin cause me? Well, Romans tells me this. He says, for the wages of sin is death. Truth is, we're supposed to die because of the sin nature. But because of his death, we can escape it. That's the significance of his death. He watch this. He stepped in between you and death. So that we can face the Father. So he caused no trouble. He's here at Calvary for doing nobody any harm. There's something I want you to understand that you know, because some of us seem to forget this, but I really believe Jesus is teaching us something here.
Yeah, right.
That even on this Christian journey, you're going to have folk against you.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Why y'all playing? Come here. On this Christian journey, you're going to have folk against you. You don't have to do anybody wrong for them to want to crucify you. You can just go on and be in yourself. And they don't have to really know you to want to crucify you. See, stop believing that lie that folk tell you. When somebody may be hurting or struggling, or somebody has fallen prey to sinful people and hurtful people and hurtful things, when folk tell you, well, you must have done something. They must have done something. Ain't nobody just gonna do that for no cause. Man, you keep living. Folk ain't. Folk will just dislike you for you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Here is Jesus. Here is Jesus. Here is Jesus on the cross for committing no crime. Matter of fact, let me help you understand something. Look, you know how he got there, don't you? He was there. They sent him from judgment hall to judgment hall. All night long. Kangaroo court. They got folk, call folk in aloud. The scripture says, and they beckoned other folk, I'm paraphrasing, to witness against him, or to witness falsely against him. In the court. Ain't done nothing to nobody. He came here so that they would be saved. And they lied on him. In court. Matter of fact, after coming out of the judgment halls and out of these court proceedings, they sent him to Pilate, went to Pilate twice, they come back to Pilate, and Pilate said, wait a minute. This man. he was saying, man, don't y'all kill Jesus. He said, well, look, maybe I can get out of this by giving them a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just show you. See, that did show you that, you know, you got to be very careful. When you got to be very careful and know when Satan is abreast. Because he'll make you make the wrong choice. He said, I'll put before them Barabbas, who's a known murderer and thief. And put him against Jesus, and they have to make a choice. And sadly, they'll choose Barabbas and say he should be crucified.
Yes.
So, certainly they'll do that.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting? That when the choice was made, they said, put Jesus on the cross. Let Barabbas go. Here's my question to you. Who is your Barabbas? Who have you chosen above Jesus? What has been your cause for rejecting Jesus? His death was significant because he died so that you and I would have a right to the tree of life. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. And even while he's on the cross, it is at this moment we recognize that he's still being scorned. They're there. I want you to understand, and I really want us to get a good view of what Jesus endured for you and I. They nailed his hands. They nailed his feet. They pierced him. And see, when we think about Jesus on the cross, we just think of words. But I want you to see the picture. Of him going through immense pain and torture so that you and I don't have to die sinners. It's here. We discover that even his righteousness is despised. It was despised by the Jews and their leaders. A fellow by the name of Caiaphas, who was the high priest at that time, he went around putting in sowing seeds of discord against Jesus. He said, "We got to get rid of him." And Caiaphas' problem was the Bible says. That Caiaphas was angry because of the popularity of Jesus. So Caiaphas' problem was he had a problem. He was mad that he wasn't Jesus. He became envious and hurtful towards Jesus, and he despised him. We've got to get rid of the man. The Romans despised him so. Not because Jesus was the Son of God and not because he was the Messiah. It was because the Romans had begun to hear about this power. Said, this guy has some power, and Romans love power. And they figured, well, look, the best thing to do is to get rid of. But they didn't understand the power that they were speaking of. Christ wasn't talking about muscle power. He wasn't talking about physical power. He was talking about that power which is the changing element in all of our lives. That power which transforms and makes us new creatures. Jesus is on the cross. And even while on the cross, his righteousness is being despised. It really shouldn't surprise us that his righteousness is despised, or Christ was despised, because Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Christ that this was going to happen. Isaiah 53 and 3, it says, and he was despised and rejected by men, and a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. These men despised Jesus. We're living in a day and time where it appears that the attitudes of men has not changed. There are those who, even with the evidences and even with the knowledge that has gone forth regarding Christ, who still say there is no man whom the whole world can be saved through. There are those of us who don't necessarily reject them through our words, but we reject them through our actions. Every time we mistreat our brother, every time we fail to obey his commands to love one another, we despise his righteousness. But look, we also see his righteousness displayed on the cross. Even though they were hurting and scornful and so forth, Christ still on the cross takes time out to pray for his enemies. Isn't that interesting? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He says, Lord, they don't understand. Forgive them. Wipe their slate clean. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't act like some of us would have acted? You know how we would have done if it was us hanging on the cross. Some of us would have been cussing. And I know we would, because look at how we act when we're ridiculed even now. We start hating folk. Don't let nobody say something that may sound offensive. Instead of us trying to get understanding, you know, we're gonna make sure that it just continues on and lingers on, and we'll do all we can to keep it going, and won't show any form of forgiveness at all. I think the worst invention in the world was the telephone. Telephone. That's our new form of crucifixion. But Jesus, he didn't cuss. He wasn't hurtful. He said, Father, forgive them. His righteousness is displayed. He says, forgive them. Can I just say something? Even in your struggle, somebody need to hear this, even in your struggle, even in your hurt, even in your pain, even what you're going through, you've got to get to a point, baby, where you just let it go. You got to say, hey, wait a minute. I can't handle this, but God can handle this. People were allowing you. People will hurt you. People will hurt you to the core. How do I know that? Jesus is on the cross. He's on the cross. He's hanging down. But yet he's saying, Father, forgive them. Truth is, we can learn a whole lot from Jesus. Why are you walking around mad at folk? I didn't mean to go there. But why are you still hanging on to stuff? Some of us mad at folk about stuff we done forgot what we mad about. We're mad at folk about stuff we can't do anymore. Why let it go? Because Jesus let it go. Had not he let it go on the cross, you and I wouldn't have a right to the tree of life. Here's Jesus. Jesus could take, he had every right to take every bit of what he was receiving personal. But he said, they don't know what they're doing, Lord. I'm not going to take it personal. Anybody here ever just took stuff personal? Anybody ever just misinterpreted something? You thought they meant this? And it was way in the left field. I told folk in Bible study some time ago, you know, about time me and one of my best friends, well, my best friend, got into it over something I misinterpreted or something I thought was going on, but it wasn't going on because I was so full of self. I saw him talking to one of our other buddies, and they started laughing, and I just knew they were talking about me. And me and my little crazy wannabe important self just went right on in. Didn't talk to him for almost 3 months, probably longer. Talked to the other friend. The other friend said to me, he said, man, that ain't, no, Tip, he didn't say that he was telling me, be good. I said, what? Don't take stuff personal. I ain't speaking to her because she ain't speak to me. Maybe she didn't see you. Maybe she got something on her mind. Maybe she dealing with something. Maybe it's some stuff going on in her life and she's so right now messed up right now, and the only thing she can do is get to the pew so she can hear a word from God. She ain't got time to speak. Look, maybe something going on. But he displayed his righteousness. He, regardless of what was going on, here's Jesus on the cross being ridiculed. He's being hung. He's in pain, but he ain't taking it personal, and he ain't cussing nobody out. He's not ignoring anybody. Guess what else he's doing? He's praying for them. I think we can learn a lot from Jesus today. We look at the cross. The cross should teach us how to treat our brothers. There's plenty to learn from the cross. The cross is more than words. The crucifixion is more than words. It's an example of how we can live through pain and live through struggle and live through hurt, praying for other people. Here he is. Even in his struggle, he still didn't just make it about him. I knew you wasn't going to like that. Isn't it interesting how sometimes we'll be going through something and we act like nobody else in the world is dealing with anything? And that's not to minimize what you're going through, but it should help us to understand that, look, all of us have to deal with something. And my problem may not be as big as your problem, and yours may not be as small as mine or big as mine, but the truth is that we all are dealing with some stuff. Jesus was dealing with hurt and pain and being on the cross and suffering. They done beat him all night. They done talked about him, lied on him, kept him up, nailed his hands, and now they're watching him die, and he is there praying for those who's done it to him. Father! Forgive them. That's a prayer. I wonder if when we leave this place today. Matter of fact, don't do it when you leave. Do it now. I wonder if many of us can just pray for others. Pray for those who are ridiculing you. Pray for those who are hurting you. Pray for those who are hurting. Pray. You want to feel better? You want to have a stronger relationship with God? Pray. Not just for you, but pray for others. His righteousness is displayed in spite of his agony. In spite of his hurt, he still had the wherewithal to pray. Here's my question to you. I'm not going to finish this. Here's my question to you. Do you have the wherewithal to keep praying? Do you have the wherewithal to keep loving? Do you have the wherewithal to, even in your pain, even in your duress, even in your struggles, to think about others? Life hurts. People hurt. And hurting people hurt people. But let me tell you what Christians do. Christians pray. No. Y'all saying yeah. No. Christians pray. P-R-A-Y. Wanna make sure you know it's not P-R-E-Y. Because you do have some folk, you know what I'm saying, that regardless of what goes on, regardless of how, they're going to get on the telephone, and then they're going to start. Child, you know. And such and so and so. We got to show them. But his righteousness was despised. His righteousness was displayed. And lastly, his righteousness was declared. The centurion servant, one of the ones who was the crucifier, one of the ones who was a part of the group to put him on the cross. looks up. And they, he looks up. And he sees all that's going on. Hears what Jesus says and says, surely this man is innocent. Surely this is the Son of God. Surely this is the Messiah. Suddenly, this is the anointed one. This is the Christ. I don't know about you, but we can learn some stuff at the cross today. How many of us have experienced Jesus enough to know that he is who he says he is? This man meets Jesus, perhaps for the first time in his life, at the foot of the cross, being one of his persecutors, one of his murderers. But he declares that he is the Son of God. I wonder today if there's anybody here right now. You've probably been in a point in your life, or maybe you're going through a point in your life right now where you just don't know. Baby, let me help you today to recognize that he is the Son of God. Big Mama used to say this. She would say, he's bread in a starving land. That's just her way of declaring that he is who he says he is. Can I tell you what Paul used to say? Paul would say he's a rock in a weary land. Bridge over troubled water. Water in dry places. David said the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, I'm glad to serve a Lord and a God like that. I told you what they said about him, but can I tell you what I found out about him? He's a friend that'll stick closer than any brother. Anybody here today willing to declare your Lord? Ain't he all right? Have you tried him for yourself? Yeah! Oh! I'm through now. But my soul done got happy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Anybody here know he's worthy? Any worthy? Do me a favor. Take your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, he's worthy. Neighbor, he's my God. Joy in times of sorrow. Shelter, in the time of storm. Company keeper when I'm by myself. When tears run down my face, I can depend on God to wipe every one of them away. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? He's all right. All right. Woo! Yeah! Yeah! have your shine him. All I'm really trying to find out is, do you know the man? Do you know the man? Let me extend the privileges of the church. You may come by later. Christian experience or as a candidate for baptism. If you're here, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? While the blood is running warm in your veins.